This is exactly right.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute. Hey, I'm ghosted. By Roz Dresfeles.
Please.
Hey, boo. Roz Dresfeles here. You guys, those tickets to the live show October 19th at the Cavern Club Theater at Casita del Campo. They're flying off the shelves like hotcakes. That's a thing that people say, right? I don't know. People are buying tickets, and I cannot wait for the show. So if you haven't done so yet, make sure you're going to get those tickets. You can go to the Cavern Club Theater.com or my Instagram bio, or it's on the Facebook group, the Facebook page, all those things. It's in Los Angeles, and maybe it'll be in a city near you soon. I got a story. It was sent to me by Juanita, and it is a story about a paranormal experience in college that she had. Her paranormal experience happened in college, her freshman year. This is when I lived in the dorms, she says. Background on these buildings. They were built over the old ones that were destroyed in the Northridge earthquake in 1994. Oh, that was here in California. Okay. Word is, the 6.7 quake killed students and no doubt explains all the visits that I got. I got lucky. My roommate never came home, so I had the room to myself. I was used to sleeping alone at this point. One night, I woke up really quickly, but laid there, unable to move. My eyes were wide open, and I felt like I was being stared at. I moved my head to the right, and there, staring back at me, is a college-aged guy in a red and black flannel with dark eyes and dark hair. Okay, I'm listening. His glare and stare said everything. Pay attention to me now! Okay, never mind. He's not hot anymore. I was so shook that I blinked to make sure that I wasn't dreaming. It wasn't a dream, and he was still there at my eye level, intimidating me. I blinked quickly, and he disappeared. He didn't revisit me, but I did have more experiences with lights in the shower turning off when the room's electrical box was locked in the bathroom area that was also locked. This would happen to all the roommates and would be really scary. I'd have soap in my hair and then the lights would shut off and it'd take your breath away for a bit. I felt like this guy was a prankster, but also pissed off that he died or that his homies left him or something. Maybe he didn't die in the quake, but some other college-y or tragic way. Ooh, that sounds terrible. A while later, I moved across the street from the dorms into a new apartment. This was a cinder block apartment that had roaches, drug labs, mold, shared bathrooms, upstanding neighbors, and all the accoutrements of luxury living. Oh, she's funny. I was with a friend hanging out partying, and we're hearing running up and down the halls. My friend peeks through the eye hole, and he sees no one. He sits down, and as soon as he sits down, there's a knock, and then the stairwell door slams. No running sounds. I wonder if the guy from the first dorm followed me there and was having fun pranking me. But dude, try not to be so scary about it. That came from Juanita. Today on the show, I have one of my dearest friends. He is truly an icon of comedy and a local favorite. He's a theater, a thespian, and I hope that you see his latest work, which is called Happy Birthday, Doug. Here he is, Drew Droege. Ladies and gentlemen, I am joined by a dear friend and somebody that I've been honored to share this stage with many a time, Drew Jogi.
Hi, Roz.
Hi, Drew.
How are you, darling?
Good. I spent all weekend with you.
Oh, my God. In the basement of Casita del Campo.
Our favorite place.
Oh, my God. It kind of is my favorite place to perform.
It's definitely like, my favorite place in Los Angeles, just yeah. as a whole. Like, uh-huh. it's just, and we have talked about it on the show that some people believe that it's haunted. You
yes,
may be one of them.
I am, actually.
And
first-hand experience.
But the last thing I ever want to do is make people think that it's a spooky, scary place.
It no, is like, it's pure love.
It is
pure
just love, love. It is gay. It is yeah. colorful. The food is delicious.
Yeah.
And there's so much fun, campy theater comedy
it's,
in
and
the basement.
It's the best kept secret. It's one of the few things that I think locals know about in LA, mm-hmm. but it's not a touristy thing to go do. But it feels like such a cool underground thing to go see some weird, usually drag comedy show in the basement after eating rice and beans and,
yep.
and drinking margaritas. It's the best. Just it's such a complete evening.
And it's just such
just like comfort food, comfort comedy.
Yes.
And yeah, and it's been there since the early 60s. And Rudy Del Campo, who was a dancer in West Side Story, he and his wife like created the restaurant, and it's in this very family place. And then the theater has been, the Cavern Club's been around since I think early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dan says, and then, but the haunted story of it was that, you know, it used to be a like community, what do they call it in churches when they have like the fellowship hall?
Yeah.
It used to
yeah,
be somehow
connected.
It wasn't a church, but it was like, it was where a church used to have dinners and like, you know, like covered dish suppers and all that kind of stuff. And there was a young girl who was trapped down there and there was a fire. It was in the basement. And she died down there. And so there have always been stories about a little girl down there. And our friend Selene, I don't know if you've had Selene on.
We did,
she,
yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if she told the story about like...
there was she did a ghost hunt.
Yes. And but she also like had what is it called? A medium come in and
mm-hmm.
and like... where are my words today? And basically do a reading and say that there's energy there and it's all in this like one area. It's like back in and this will mean nothing to anyone listening to this, but you'll know exactly what I mean. Where Sam and
Sam's spot.
Stand,
yeah.
like over kind of backstage in this one little area. She said it's really heavy. So for me, what happened, we were doing the Facts of Life and which we do an all drag version of lots of TV shows. You and I just did the Golden Girls last weekend. And so we were doing in the Facts of Life, and in that particular show, everyone else plays all the girls on the show, and so they are on stage the whole time, and I was Mrs. Garrett, so I kind of popped in and out. So I had a lot of time where I was just back there by myself. And there was a number where Sam, all the characters had like talent shows they're doing. I love that I'm telling this story. It's like so crazy. So Blair, we do like a thing where they all have a talent show, and Blair does a tap dancing number. So it's all pre-recorded tap dancing, and Sam is pretending to do his own tap dancing, and it goes on for way too long, and it's clearly false, and it's comedy at its richest. And I was back there, and I don't know if it was something about like the noise of those the tap dancing or whatever, but I heard full voice right behind me. I heard a little girl say, "I want socks."
What?
And I turned around, I go, what? Like, it sounded like a little girl had come backstage behind me, and it was so clear. And I turned around, there was nobody behind me. And so,
what is that all
yeah,
about?
So I was like, oh, that's the ghost. And I am not scared of ghosts. I think they're wonderful, and I like welcome the energy. So, you know, and it's sort of, there's something weirdly comforting to me about that, to know that like there's energy around us. And even at that place, you know, it was like, yeah, I heard it full voice. And then I told Jackie Beat was in the show. I told her about it and she was like, oh, my God, that gives me chills. And, you know, and she also was like, that's exactly what an 8-year-old girl would say. Like, I won't saw it. Not like, hey, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I'm spooky.
Look
like,
at me.
I've got chains. And said she is just so matter of fact. And I don't know what caused it, but I didn't feel any sort of danger at all. I just was like, oh, there's a girl back here. Like it immediately made sense to me.
Wow.
And then
she probably tries on our wigs when we're not there.
I bet she does.
Well, Selene also said that a man came through, because there's like another story about somebody like
okay.
getting shot or something.
I don't
even
know.
Remember. But there was a man that they heard the voice say, "I want a margarita."
Wow. So they well, that could fun. Just be one of our drunk patrons who comes true. To the show every week. I mean, you never know.
But so it's definitely a good energy.
It's good energy there. But Jackie said a few days after that happened that she got to the theater early and saw just this, like, something in the lighting booth, like saw activity in the lighting booth and was like, and couldn't place it and what it was. And so.
Interesting. It's yeah. so funny because I'm really. Ghosts usually like love me, but
obviously,
and I've worked there so many times, and I only one time, I'm not sure if I was just freaking myself out or if I felt a spirit, but I'm. It's interesting that those ghosts there are kind of like you're a little too thirsty for it. Like you're
maybe
you
that's
want
what it is.
I
wonder
it
if
is.
It is like you know you look for love too hard, and yeah. you're like you just gotta let it happen and be aware of it, or I definitely don't ever, I don't know, my other interaction, like when I moved into my old, not the place that I'm in now, but the place that I was in for like about 6 years in Los Feliz, I just like made peace with a ghost and then I was fine. But we had some I had some really weird stuff happening.
What?
So my place I was in, I was living in Los Feliz in an old place that I looked up and had been built in the 40s. And it had like an old-timey ironing board that folded out of the wall with an old-timey iron that hadn't worked in forever, but it looked like some weird prop from some movie. And like cabinet, it was really cute in there, but it was very much like, you know, of the style. And no one had been there for a really long time. And my friend, it was a duplex, and my friend lived in the front unit. And when I moved in, I it had been like 6 months since anybody had been in that place. I don't know why. The landlady was old and insane, and she just wasn't active about getting the place filled. And I guess she had all the money she needed and just didn't need to rent the place, I guess.
Or
people
kept
were
leaving,
running away. I know. That,
running,
well, that's,
screaming.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because the rent was really cheap. It was a huge place. It was in Los Feliz, a great neighborhood.
Yes.
And I was like, this is too good to be true. And so within a few weeks, maybe a month of living there, I had a light that was in my closet. I mean, I had this, well, it was a really wide apartment. And so like on the other side of the kitchen, there was a room where the washer and dryer should be, but my crazy landlady wouldn't let us have a washer and dryer hookups in there. So we just had this random mud room off by the kitchen where I kept all my costumes. So that was just like my costume room. And because I like to separate my costumes from my real clothes and try to remind myself that I'm a person sometimes.
I wish I had.
And
that.
So it's honestly like when I was like, this is a luxury that because I did not have not had that for many other times. And so I there was a random light, this light bulb that would just start turning on at random times. And I never pulled the switch. I never tried to turn it on, but I would.
It was the kind with the string.
It was a string, like one of those string old raw light bulb hanging out of the wall in the mud room where I never went in. But also I would wake up in the middle of the night, and the light would be on. So something would wake me up, just a light popping on, and it was on the whole other side of the apartment. It wasn't like it was at all in my vision, but I was woken up. And I had to go in there and that light would be on and I would turn it off. And that happened like at least twice, if not three times. Like at times that light would just pop on and I would wake up.
Did you ever hear the pull?
No. I would something would wake me up.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. And then I would be like, oh, that light is on all the way over in the apartment. Then one night, or also middle of the night, 3 in the morning-ish, my bathtub was pouring hot water, like just full blast water blasting out of my bathtub.
Wow.
I mean, out of the faucet.
Yeah.
Into my bathtub, I should say. And it woke me up immediately. And I was like, why is my bath on? Like, it's just running.
Now,
hot, boiling hot water.
Are you the kind of person that's like, maybe it's something going on with the water pipes or
it
maybe
could
the electricity?
Be. It's just a weird thing for that to just start, because it requires you turning the knob. You know, it's not like Because it would be one thing if I couldn't get it turned off and the pipes, but I went and turned it off and it was fine. Mm. So something turned it on.
But do you instantly go, okay, there might be a ghost?
I started to think, I'm wondering. Because also, like, what's the other logic? There's someone in my apartment doing things? Like, that's even crazier to me, honestly. Because, I mean, in a way, it's like, well, how did someone get in? Then I had my real moment with the ghost. And this was after all these other things had happened. I woke up in the middle of the night. I was unable to move. So I was just pinned down to the bed. And there was a figure standing above me. And I don't know, male, female, I had no idea what. It was just this shape. And I did hear there was a creak in the wood, wooden floors. And I heard the creak. So there was some weight of some sort involved.
You heard the creak, like, walking
up? I heard it as
if
someone was standing there.
Oh, okay.
And then it got on top of me, this thing, and started not really fucking me, but
okay,
like,
because I'm getting a little turned on over
yes.
here.
But it was, like, checking me out. It was, like, on top of me, and I felt some weight on me, but it wasn't, like, human weight. It was pressure that I felt on top of me.
Oh, wow.
Completely checking me out. And the craziest thing, in retrospect, is that I wasn't scared at all. Like, nothing about it freaked me out.
Really?
I was very calm. I couldn't move and I couldn't speak, but I just tried to communicate to this thing. And I was blinking. I was seeing my apartment around because I kept thinking, like, this is a dream. But I was like, no, I'm awake and I'm in a different space.
I'm trying to picture this, though. Like, could you see eyeballs or just, like,
No. It was dark. It was in my room. But I saw the outline and, like, a shape of a person on top of me.
Oh, my God.
And I just communicated, like, I'm cool that you're here. If you're cool that I'm here. Like, we can live here together. Uh-huh. It's all fine.
Yeah.
This is cool. Whatever you need to do right now. And then the next morning, I woke up and freaked the fuck out. I was like, what happened to me last night?
Well, how did it end? Did you fall asleep or it disappeared?
No, it got off of me and sort of disappeared. And then I went back to sleep. I was very calm the entire experience.
Wow, you're so different than me.
I don't know. I mean, it was so strange because, like, I freak out at all kinds of things. And I don't know. And I just... And I woke up the next day and I was like, that was so strange. It was so vivid. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say there's no way that I didn't dream the whole thing, but it felt so different. I was so aware and so awake and alive in that moment. And I wasn't like, and nothing weird like beyond that happened. And I'm seeing around I'm very much taking in my bedroom and I'm seeing everything. So nothing, it felt very much like it really happened.
That's what scares me so much is when everything seems just as you know it, you know, in everyday life. The same thing I like about like horror movies and things.
Yeah.
Everything just seems normal, but there's one thing that's not supposed to be there.
Right.
And that's what scares me.
Well, but it's like why I love Nightmare on Elm Street so much because they were amazing with that because everything looked normal and then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, she's actually
this
dreaming.
This is a
right
dream.
Now.
Yeah.
But in real dreams, my dreams are never that logical. My dreams are chaotic. Nothing really makes sense. I'm never in my real space. I'm always like back somewhere from my past or in some weird other thing. And I don't dream that logically. I don't think that logically, I don't think. And so this was like a whole different sort of place I was in for this moment. And it was also like, I feel like even in a dream, I would be really scared if something is on top of me.
Yeah.
And it was honestly just like checking me out, like how cats get on top of you in the middle of the night.
Okay.
And just sort of like kind of make their territory and want to, and they kind of need to establish some sort of dominance in some weird, in their own mind.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't feel like, you know, you're really threatening me or anything, but it was like how an animal would get on top of you and just sort of like check you out.
Gosh,
and then after that happened, I never had anything else. And I lived there for 6 years and I never had anything else.
Maybe it like was originally threatened by you. And then I had a moment where it was like, oh, OK, you're letting me know we're both safe.
Yep.
I'm cool to be here. You're cool
I know.
With me not paying rent.
And I, yeah, exactly. And I did Google the place and I was like, has there been a murder here that Crazy hasn't told me about? And there was nothing. I mean, there was nothing that I could find online that had ever happened there. Because I was like, that's what I was feeling. I was like, you know.
Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I've heard stories of things like that happening to people that aren't necessarily because of horrific death that happened in that building.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's like something you're going through in life that attracts some
yes.
kind of energy.
Yes. That makes
or,
total sense.
You know, maybe somebody had something attached to them and they gave it to you and then it followed
yeah.
you home, or like
yeah.
it could be a lot of different things.
Yeah. And it's also like, I mean, you really never know. I mean, like, they're legally supposed to tell you if something has happened in your space, but how do you, when things change hands with people, and it's mm-hmm. like, how would you, I mean, I'll never forget, I was at a dinner party with a friend, and I think they still live there, an older woman, I've known her husband for a while, we're like, have mutual friends, and I was talking to her one night, and she was like, we, you know, and she said, we also live in Los Feliz, and blah, 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 and we're talking about something about like houses, and you know, how expensive it is, and I don't know, some stupid adult conversation. And she was like, well, we really lucked out because we were able to pay cash for our house. We moved here so long ago. And she said some really low number amount of money. And or maybe she didn't even tell me the amount. I don't know. But she was basically saying that. And she was like, and she goes, well, it's kind of a complicated story. She's like, because we moved here from, I think, Iran or Syria, maybe from Syria. And she was like, it was 1970. They didn't have these rules and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, we have moved to this great neighborhood and this great house. And she goes, and then weird things started happening. She's like, in our driveway, we were getting spray. People were spray painting things like, we're coming back and it's not over. And just these really weird cryptic messages spray painted in our driveway. And I never understood what that was. And then we were watching, let's say, 60 Minutes or something. And they were showing the house where the Mansons murdered the LaBiancas.
They live in the LaBianca house.
They live in the LaBianca house.
Oh, wow.
And she said, that's our refrigerator. That's our, we're sitting in the den where they're showing
nobody
this
told
house,
them.
And nobody told them.
Well, that is like a stigmatized property or something, I believe is the mm-hmm. term. We've talked about that on this podcast before, like the Amityville house.
Uh-huh,
like it's
uh-huh.
one of those things like
yeah.
you have to, because also people are driving by and taking pictures
course,
in front of your house.
Of like, course, that's the most annoying thing. And she thinks that the spray paint in the driveway was just weird fans, because Manson
oh,
had
yeah.
so many fans, like
still.
And still has those weird people that are not actually like members of the Manson family, but are just totally like, it's cool to go. And that's got to be the worst part about living in a place like that. All the drive-bys and people taking a picture in front of your home.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
Well, did you know that it recently was up for sale? It was like
the
just.
The LaBianca house?
Yeah, it was just
oh, so
on
maybe,
the market.
Oh, so maybe they moved. The people
yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah. And they did a visual, like a open house that you
uh-huh.
could, a digital open house that you could
uh-huh.
do online.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, of course,
uh-huh,
I like
of course.
Went to see what it was like. And pretty like within like a week or two, the guy from Ghost Adventures, Zach Baggins, the ghost guy, he bought the house.
Wow.
So they might be getting ghosty up in there.
Oh, wow. It's weird. But, well, I asked her about it and she said she had no problem living there. She's like, I have no, she, just to her, it was like, it was like, yeah, it was, you know, this horrible thing happened there, of course, and I'm deeply sorry about that, but it just didn't bother her at all.
So you asked her like, are there ghosts in there?
I didn't ask her that, but I just said, what's it like? And what, did that freak you out or whatever? And she's like, you know, no, I feel like, you know, she's like, if you trace, I mean, also she's from the Middle East, and I think it's a different thing where she's like, their land is so old. I mean, their property is all so old that she's like, wherever you're going to be, something bad has probably happened
yeah,
in that space.
True.
So, you know, that was kind of, I think, her attitude about it. Whereas here, we're like, we're only 200 years old, so it's way less likely. But to me, I'm like, if it was like, oh, you know, somebody died tragically here, it'd be like, oh, that would, I don't know. But when someone is horrifically murdered And the if I'd known the, I could not stay somewhere where I know the Manson family had been.
No,
like that's just that I could not be with, regardless of what I just no.
But also, it's such a beautiful home too. Like yeah. It really is a gorgeous home. When I was looking at it,
well, they lived there for what 40 years, I guess, and or more, and were very content, lovely people. Like there was no sense of like I don't think it ever. Haunted them, but good Lord.
Oh, my God. Well, you know about the other Los Feliz murder house, right?
Yes. There's. Oh, I mean, tell me again. There's was it a doctor? Or
yeah, I believe yeah. It was like a dentist. Uh-huh. And I think uh-huh. He murdered, I hope I'm getting the story right. He murdered like his wife and kids like in the middle of the night one night and maybe killed himself. I can't remember. All I know is a father was a dentist and a lot of murders and children and a family. And then the house was like abandoned for years and it was like a thing where people would like go like look in the windows or break in and like everything had like hadn't been touched for like years. It was like the 50s or something. And then somebody bought it recently. And then shortly after living there, they moved out. And it was something that, like, literally was abandoned for, like, 40, 50 years. And then some, like, this young couple moves in, and then they're like, bye!
Yeah. Well, you have to think about, too, when that energy is trapped in there for that long, it takes over.
Yeah.
And you really are an intruder. You're coming in after 40 years. And, like, these, you know, people are, you know, if they're all, their spirits are trapped in there, then...
Anyway, okay, yes. So
you've groundlings?
Encountered, okay, yes, at the groundlings, you encountered a spirit, or no, you know.
So I have a friend who told this story on my podcast a few years ago. She was performing in the groundlings. Groundlings is sketch comedy improv theater that's
legendary.
Been around since 1974. And a lot of famous people have come out of there.
Former podcast guest Cassandra Peterson.
Yes, Cassandra Peterson was a groundling. And all these SNL people from, Will Ferrell, Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Lisa Kudrow. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people have come out of that place.
And you.
And me, yes, of course. And so anyway, there was a girl who was in the Sunday Company, which they perform and put up new sketches on Sundays, and it's always a big cast. I mean, I was in it one time with 19 people, and everyone's trying out new sketches every week. So you're seeing people in crazy costumes and wigs, and so sometimes it does take you a minute to check like who someone is because you see your friends who you're working and writing with every week, but with a big cast, and it's sometimes you're like, oh, who was that? Oh my god, you look so you've transformed. So she said. She was ironing backstage at the theater, and she said that somebody came up behind her wearing a really loud Hawaiian shirt and like a captain's hat.
Sounds like a really fun person.
And tapped her on the shoulder. She turned around and said she saw it in such a flash. She was like, "Who was that? Like, which person in the company?
Yeah.
Like." And then ran out the back door. This person ran out the back door. And she was like, and it just hit her as like, I literally have no idea who that was, who just hit me right now. So she ran outside, followed this thing. There were people who were probably spray painting props out by the back door. Cause that's usually where you go when you're like working on crafty things out by the theater. Cause you're writing, putting up new sketches every week. So there were two people outside working on something. And she said, "Who was that that just ran out?" And they said, "No one. No one ran out here." And she goes, "Somebody just ran out the back door. I just chased him."
Did she see the door open?
No, because she was around the corner. It's like a long corridor, like around by the thing. So she just had a moment of like, oh, wait, who was that? And by that point, she saw it go that direction.
Yeah.
So she was running out, and it's loud, and so you don't always know, like, the doors. I mean, it was just one of those things, too. She just was like, I need to find out who that was. And so anyway, she told this ghost story, and I'm now here's where I don't know if it was me that thought this. I immediately knew who it was. I was like, that was Phil Hartman.
Oh, wow.
I was like, because I just knew. And here's the thing. I'm not sure if someone else suggested that to her in that moment, but I was like, it had to have been, because she was saying it was definitely a ghost. Because in that point, she was like, that was a ghost then, because it was no one. There was no one in the show that was dressed like that the rest of the thing. And, you know, that night in the show, and she was like, that was a ghost. And I said it had to have been Phil Hartman because he built the theater. He was a carpenter and actually literally built the theater.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
And he paid for his classes. He was a carpenter and just took classes for fun on the side.
He seemed like the best person.
Everyone says that. Everyone said he was the most lovely person ever. And really, the Groundlings was the place where he was the happiest. Mm-hmm. And he was the only – he was so happy. Friends of his who were, you know, in the performed with him said that he was the first person to actually mention the Groundlings on, like, late night shows. When, you know, when he was on SNL, he would go and do things and said, I got my start at the Groundlings Theater in L.A. And said people who had come before him never really gave credit to the Groundlings like Phil did. And Phil came back and did so many things to the Groundlings. And he had such a horrible home life with his wife, and which ended so tragically, that it would make sense that he would be that he would come back there, and he'd want his energy to be at that theater where he was so happy.
Have there been other reports?
There have been reports of ghosts there for sure, and they've had paranormal, Ghostbusters, whatever you call them, to go in and check there, and they've said there's a lot of energy there. Also, the Groundlings, there's the worst reception ever. And they always have technical problems there. They've said it for years. Printers don't work. Computers, the internet is so slow there. There's just energetically something weird
Definitely.
Going on there.
Wow.
It was also, it used to be a brothel back in the day.
Well.
Before, it was a flop house. And so there's also that energy there as well. So a lot of people probably came there and dumped a lot. I mean, you know, customers and employees alike who had a lot of, you know.
Wow. Oh, my God. I didn't even realize energy. That. But, I mean, every theater, they say, is haunted.
Oh, sure.
I never thought of that as, like, the Groundlings. But, yeah, of course.
Yeah. It makes sense. Because it's also, like, a place where people really, you know, display their nakedest selves. They are very emotional. There's always drama. There's always...
Highs and lows.
And that's... And it's like... And you talk about energy, like energy doesn't really understand acting. It's like when you do a play and, you know, if I had better training, I would know how to physically do things without actually emotionally putting myself through it a lot. But I don't really. I kind of really go through it a lot. And my body doesn't know that I'm acting. Mm-hmm. So your body's exhausted because you're just kind of – so that, I mean, you know, talk about where somebody like puts all that energy into it. Of course, they're going to be – ghosts are going to be – attracted to that kind of a place.
Plus, there's like fun costumes back there. Like you can put on a captain hat.
I live in a theater.
What kind of ghost would you be?
Absolutely live in a theater. Oh my God. I don't know. I think I would be so content.
Yeah.
To live in a costume closet, like that would just be so fun.
That'd be the best place to be a ghost.
Yeah.
Have you in all your years of working in theaters, have you had other experiences or known of haunted?
There are always, I mean, every theater I've worked in, there's always people have always like, said it. Stories and things, but I don't think so. Nothing that comes to mind.
Growing up in South Carolina, were there ghost stories and urban legends?
Yes. Now, I mainly grew up in North Carolina, but I did go to the beach in South Carolina. We had a beach house there, and that's where there are the beach stories that I grew up hearing, and I mention them now and people look at me like I'm absolutely insane. But there's the Gray Man, which is a legendary, like, it's like Litchfield Beach, I want to say. And that's a story, countless stories that people that have been visited by the Gray Man. When storms are coming and hurricanes and stuff, there is a figure that has come to people's doors before, to beach houses. And it's that everyone says they can't, it's like dark and people can't make out the face, but it's like some people have described, you're going to have listeners chiming in going, you're getting all these details wrong, but because there's somebody that knows this way
if you
more
know
than
it,
I do.
Put it in the Facebook group.
Please do. Let us know and I want to know. But I think he's dressed like a World War I soldier is this thing that clings in my mind from when I was a kid and what I heard. And he would warn people and say, you need to get out of here. You and your family need to get out. There's going to be a bad storm coming. And when people listened to him, they would leave and seek shelter somewhere else. And they would come back and houses on both both sides of them were completely wiped out and their house was fine.
Oh, wow.
And apparently the legend is if you don't listen to him, it could maybe destroy you, you know. So he was like this like guardian angel visited so many people. And they said that they were greeted by this man in like sort of like gray sort of fatigues. And they would tell them to leave. Then there was this woman named Al and a ghost named Alice. And you could walk around there was some other ghost about, oh my God, I'm trying to think of what that was. Oh, growing up in Lincolnton, North Carolina, there was Sally's Bridge.
Okay.
Where, oh my God, this was so much fun. We would go down, Sally's Bridge was in the middle of nowhere in Lincoln County, scary ass. To me, growing up in the South, there's nothing scarier than Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, rednecks are terrifying to me. This country is so much... The city does not scare me at all. I go into a city and I'm like, there are people everywhere, you know.
My fear is, like, being lost in the woods.
The
like,
woods. Oh, my God.
Blair Witch
like,
Project.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what
me.
Was it? Wrong Turn? Mm-hmm. One of the scariest movies. Yeah. So, it was out in the boondocks. You were out in the middle of nowhere. And there was this bridge. And apparently the story was... that there was a couple and they were on their way to the prom. I don't know what high school they were or where they were going from, but back in the day, people lived out in the country and they would drive 45 minutes to get to school and whatever. But a prom date and was killed like and over the bridge and she was decapitated. And so what you would do is you would go out to Sally's Bridge and turn off your car. You had to stand outside the car. Turn off the car. There was something about put your keys on top of the car, some other part of the thing. And you had to walk around the car like three times or something. And you had to say, Sally, Sally, won't you come out to play? And you said that as you walked around the car three full times. Everyone in the car had to walk around the car. Then you would get back in the car and your car would not start. And it happened.
Why would you want that?
And we were in high school. We're like, oh my God, it's, you know, it's so cool. And it would eventually start, but it would stall. It would take a really hard time. It would take a really long time to get your car started again. There's been talk that it's something with the like precipitation that like builds up like at night that it can get underneath your car and it can just cause after your car's been running. Mm. I don't know. There is some science involved
to
it.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
But it definitely your car will stall when you do that. I mean, it happened. We did it like so many times. Then the other fun part about it was that the Satanist of Lincoln County started hanging out by Sally's Bridge. I never saw them, but I was obsessed. I was obsessed with Satan growing up because it was so funny to me. And it was and we, you know, you grew up in the religious in the South and they just make you terrified of the devil. And like everything is like devil worshipers live over there.
Were you raised with religion?
Yes. Yes. I was raised Presbyterian but everything it's just in the DNA in the South where you live to fear God and the devil is always at the edges of your life, ready to suck you in.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. And I was so about it. And it's why I love horror movies. I love Freddy Krueger. And I love
Frankenfurter.
I love, fear of like the weirdo and the freak. And like, you know, it's all in those heartbreaking documentaries about the Paradise Lost. Those stories, those are the kids I went to high school with, and they would wear like, you know, Megadeth t-shirts and everything, like, you know, they're a devil worshiper. I'm like, no, they're just a nerd. They're actually just like usually like a white trash nerd who doesn't have an outlet and probably a really cool person that I would actually like more than the popular kids. You know what I mean? Like the people you're like, oh, I actually, you're just like, it's just some people are goth. It's like, they don't worship the devil.
Yeah. It's like Hail Satan. Have you seen that?
Oh, it's incredible.
I loved it.
I loved it too.
Yeah.
And it's so like, you know, and I would never consider myself a Satanist or a devil worshiper. And I definitely, and I'm actually spiritual and I have a very like, I'm a very like lapsed Christian and I believe in a lot of that. So I don't have issues with Christianity. Like I was raised very lax. Like our church was not like, I'm so glad I was not raised like Southern Baptist or like Pentecostal.
With the snakes and stuff.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Or even like, you know, cause some of them like, cause that was Pentecostal with the snakes, but the And I definitely went to those churches with friends, and I, not snakes, I never saw snakes, but I went to the Holy Roller, like people rolling around on the floor and screaming.
Oh my God.
You're in like a shopping center, and the church is just in like next to like a you know, Subway sandwiches and, you know, whatever. And you're like, oh, and we're screaming and they're tambourines. And there's...
Do you believe that when they're screaming? Like I watch those videos sometimes.
I believe that. I think it's like, I mean, first of all, if it would just, if people like genuinely spoke in tongues, then it would just happen anywhere. It wouldn't happen on Sunday at 11 a.m. conveniently in front of everyone else.
Next to Carl's Jr.
Totally. And you've planned the time, but it's mass hysteria. It's like when people get, you know, it's like when audiences of people all laugh at the same things and the next night the same audience does the same show. I think it's wrapped up in that. I think it's like you want to be part of a group and on a fundamental human level, that if you're rolling around on the floor, it's part of, it's the culture of doing that. Because otherwise, that would just happen anywhere.
You're right.
If the Lord spoke through people that way. But I don't, I also try not to be disrespectful of that, because I just, I'm so from that world, and I've seen it made fun of so much. And I get really irritated when liberal elite people kind of look down on that, like, you know, because... You know what? If that's what gets you through the day and you're not hurting anybody. Now, snakes is a different thing. And we're involving children and snakes. I do draw the line at that, because
it's dangerous.
People die.
Yeah.
And, you know, drinking strychnine and all the stuff that they would do to prove. And then, now that's absolutely insane. But, you know, if it makes people feel better and they're not, you know, my biggest issue with religion is evangelism, like telling other people how to think and telling other people what to think. But I think everyone should absolutely believe what they need to believe in order to get through the day. And I don't think anyone should, and I don't laugh in the face of anyone who believes anything. I mean, as long as you're not telling people that they're wrong for what they believe.
Totally. You know? It's a good stance to have. And I think everybody has, I think that the sense of community and ritual and, you know, positivity, it manifests in many different ways for people, but for a lot of people it's religion.
Right, exactly.
A lot of people, it's
and
not.
A lot of people need that structure. They need to
structure,
feel some order in the world. I mean, I was just talking to a friend today and she was saying, you know, like safety and security is the number one thing that humans need to feel. Mm-hmm. And if they don't feel, and that's why people are so scared to, you know, go on a trip that they don't know where it's going to happen. They're scared to jump out of a helicopter, there, you know, or what's it called? Hang gliding? What's it called when you jump
skydiving.
Out of a... Skydiving. Thank you. I'm an
idiot.
I am
terrified of that.
Oh, same. But people are scared of doing improv because it's like, what's going to happen next? Mm-hmm. And it's like, because people need... So religion like helps people find an order and feel peace and feel like there's some meaning in the universe. And it makes them, and I think for people to go, well, we don't need to know what the meaning is, but we need to know that there is a meaning and someone's in charge. I mean, I totally get it. I understand.
I mean, if I believe in ghosts and demons and all this shit, how can I possibly judge somebody that believes?
Right. You know? Absolutely.
You want to hear some ghost voices?
Yes.
All right. It's time for
EVPs.
Or EV, please. So I went to YouTube and I found some just stunning EVPs.
Yes.
Just for you. Just special for you.
So now what do I...
Okay, so I'm going to play a ghost voice
uh-huh.
that somebody captured and posted to YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to guess what this paranormal investigator believes they captured a ghost saying.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
And this was uploaded by Ghost Hunt Weekends, and it's at Nickerson Sneed House, is what the place is called. Nickerson-Sneed House in Virginia.
So, and that's a place?
It's a place.
Great.
That is haunted.
Okay.
And they caught a voice saying this. Wait, let me turn it up just a little bit. Wait. Okay, it's real quick. It's one word,
wait,
two syllables.
Again? I have no idea. I have really good hearing and I can't even hear that. It sounds like a snap.
Okay, I'll give you a... Well, there is a snap in there, I think, but they're saying Matt, Matt, something like that.
What? Matt, Matt?
Any guesses? I can give you some options.
Nightmare?
Nightmare. Okay, that's a good one. Here's an option. Is it A, Taken? Like, it could be like a Liam Neeson okay. ghost or something. B, face mask, because you know, like those face masks, like, you know, those hot Instagram face masks
can't
that everyone's
be
wearing.
That much.
B, basement, or D, slay bitch.
Oh, it's got to be basement.
It's basement.
That's, okay,
that's the only logical one.
Now that you
one.
Say that, I can hear it. But
I know.
Oh God, it's so.
But to pull it out of thin air, it's kind of hard.
Also, it sounds. It doesn't. I mean, I don't know what a ghost sounds like, but it sounds like just some tired woman going basement.
Well, it could be a tired ghost.
Tired ghost lady.
Yeah, she might. She might sure. be exhausted. Being a ghost takes a lot. Okay, this next one is from Hauntology Productions, and oh. it's in Lock, California. And it is at the Dai Loi Gambling Hall.
Okay.
And it was also an opium den and brothel at one point.
Yes, my kind of people.
This was a town of Chinese immigrants. Very interesting read about Locke, California. Yeah. But tell me what this ghost says.
Can I hear it again?
It's kind of a whisper.
Prey on the others?
Prey on the others. Okay, here's some options. Is it A, what happened to you? B, that cat made me throw up. C, the hashtag YOLO. Or D, where's Kathy and Hoda?
Okay, I have to hear this again. What were your first two?
What happened to you? Or that cat made me throw up.
Is it what happened to you?
Let's hear it. It is what happened to you.
But it's there's like something, and it almost sounds like what happened to Tina Yothers. Do you know who that is?
I don't.
She was. I was like, if you know who that is, you've done a deep dive. She was on that show Family Ties with Michael J. Fox. She played the youngest sister.
Well, maybe the ghost died not knowing what happened to her.
And I don't know what happened to Tina Yothers. That's a valid question. I don't know what happened to Tina Yothers.
I think it sounds like, where's Kathy and Hoda?
I absolutely sounds like that, but I was like, there's no way the ghost would say that.
There's no way anyone would say that.
Nobody wants them back together.
All right. Well, I think that's all the ghosting for today.
Oh, my God.
What's going on? You've got your show.
Yes. If you're in LA, I'm doing my new solo show. It's called Happy Birthday,
and
Doug.
And it's incredible. And
thank
you've
you.
Never seen a solo show like Drew Drogi's solo show.
Oh, honey, thank you. It's really I play nine characters. I'm playing nine gay men. At a birthday party at a wine bar in Silver Lake. I play a ghost in
yes.
the show. One of my characters is a ghost. And it's at the Celebration Theater in September. It's going to be on Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 7. And you can get tickets on celebrationtheater.com if you're in LA. And if you're in New York in the spring, I'm doing it in 2020. In February of 2020, I'm opening at the Soho Playhouse.
Amazing.
On the off-Broadway stage.
And that's where you did Bright Colors
yeah.
and Bold Patterns,
same
too,
place.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
So I'll be that doing that in New York next year.
Love it!
Yay!
Well, thank you so much for listening. Please join the Facebook group, Ghosted by Roz Dresfeles. Find me on Instagram, at Roz Dresfeles. I'm on Cameo, at Roz Dresfeles, Twitter, Facebook, all those things. Make sure you buy tickets to the live show, which is October 19th at the world-famous Cavern Club Celebrity Theater at Casita del Campo here in Los Angeles. I am recording some more episodes this week, and we have got some good stories coming at you. So make sure you are subscribed. Give us a 5-star review if you can, a 5-star rating. Leave us a nice review. It's a great way to give me a ghost story, or you can leave it in the Facebook group, or you can email me, ghostedbyroz@gmail.com. And you know what? It's Halloween time, so tell your friends about this podcast. I can't wait. Halloween is coming up, so let's get spooky. I love you all, both living and dead.
But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.